Let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. The words from the psalmist. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has set a tent for the sun. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure. We join together to sing, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." join together to pray. Let us pray. Holy God, in our day-to-day lives, we know that we go against your word. We look for idols or false gods. We struggle to stop working, even for one day. We want what others have, we covet, we want more. But that is not how you call us to live. When we go wrong, forgive us. When we make the basis of our decisions upon celebrity or glamour, forgive us. When we don't stop to spend time with you, forgive us. When we desire more and more possessions, forgive us. Eternal God, who creates and commands, revive our hearts. Be with us in our worship, so that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts may be acceptable to you. Lord, in the everyday, we thank you for those times when we have recognized and caught a glimpse of your power and been awed by it, amazed by your message, when we have been inspired by your good news. We who are your foolish people give you thanks for those times when we have recognized your wisdom. We who are weak, thank you for those times when we have encountered your strength. Lord, draw us close to you. For we know now that busyness in our heads is not merely about the activities of our days. We can be busy in our thinking and busy ignoring you, even if there isn't that much to do. Give us a stillness, Lord our God. Give us a sensitivity to your spirit, that each day would be lived to your glory because we stopped and we worshipped you. And we pray in the name of the one whose cross stands silently as a sign of the living God, God who is with us always. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Sally, would you like to lead us? Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, how exciting. People were waving at me before I started waving at them. This is good. And a special wave to Henrik, because you're the youngest person here. Hello, Henrik. I've got a very simple question for you this morning. It's a question of imagination, I suppose, but I want you to imagine that your house is about to fall down. It's not a very happy thought for this time on a Sunday morning, but imagine that your house is about to fall down. I'm interested to know, and you can type in the chat box, what three things you would take with you, that you'd have to have with you. And I think this is something, I saw Sophia and Jack somewhere, so this is something they can join in with as well. Think about what's really important to you and what would you want to take with you if you knew your house was about to fall down. So for the purposes of people listening on the telephone, I'm going to read these out. So Beth says, my Bible, clothes, and my cat. Yep, thank you. Bron says, Nick. She'd take her husband, that's good. Photos and phone. Martin says, his wife, his credit card. Oh, it's going so fast, I'm going to have to scroll up. Martin says, his wife, his credit card, and his passport. Isaac says his phone charger and his earphones. Yep. Catherine says Pablo, that's her dog. And where is Pablo this morning? He's not joining in with the service. Oh, he's asleep. She'd take her passport and her phone. Let's see what other people have put. Christine Thompson, my passport. There's a lot of you planning to leave the country, I notice. She'd take her jewellery and a book. Leslie, take her telephone, her wallet, and saxophone. Ray would take his saxophone. Or is that Leslie saying she'd take Ray? Don't know. Carol Clack says she'd take her handbag. Oh, Janine, my family, clothes, and phone. Stuart, my Bible, my mobile, my wallet. Rhiannon, cat, laptop, phone. Connie, passport, and Liam. Jihai, family, money, and computer. Diane, Jonathan, Monty the cat, and money details. This is interesting. Anne would take her PA, her bag, and her phone. Kathy Seymour would take her photos, her purse, and her passport. Gosh, there's loads. Liz, family photos, passport, and phone. That's Liz Bartlett. Beth, oh, she's changed her mind. Cat, phone, handbag. Okay. Fantastic, thank you for that. I'm going to show you what I'd take. Some of you have mentioned this already, so I don't feel quite so much of a goody two shoes, but I would take my Bible, okay, because I think if my house fell down, I'd need some comforting, and I think I might find some comfort, I hope I would, in my Bible. I realise I can't. I've blocked myself out. Where am I? I need to be able to see you in the camera. Here we are. I would also take this. Can you see that? That is my spider catcher. One of my most treasured possessions. You're laughing, but this has saved the lives of hundreds of spiders. Right, instead of going under my foot, they go in here and then they get delivered to a safe place, i.e. somewhere outside my flat, okay? So that would be the other thing that I took. And I would also take Teddy Boo. Teddy Boo's been with me almost from day one. And I don't think you're ever too old to still love your first Teddy. Yeah, Beth, thank you. She would take a Teddy. So Teddy Boo would definitely have to come with me. And I can see Hannah, not Hannah, sorry, was that Sophia? Did she have a toy with her as well? Oh, the toys are coming into view. Here we go, the toys that she would take with her. Oh, is that a sheep and a dog? Yeah, well done. I would take definitely something cuddly to support me and look after me. Now, why am I asking you this? I've almost forgotten myself. in today's story, Jesus starts talking about God's house, the temple, falling down, being destroyed. And I wonder how he felt about that, how the disciples felt about that. And I wonder what they might have taken away from the temple, what they would have rescued, what was important to them. Because for them, the temple was where God was. It wasn't like we think, well, you know, God is everywhere now, he's with us. But the temple was God's, literally God's house. That's where God lived to them. So I'm wondering how they would have felt and what they would have taken from that. And on that note, I am going to mute myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Think of mountains. Think of the stories of the Old Testament. You'll know that mountains are really very important, like deserts. So we have the burning bush on Mount Sinai, where Moses was commissioned to lead God's people. And now again, at the foot of the mountain that smokes, that shakes with the Lord's presence, we have Moses up the mountain and then bringing down the Ten Commandments for the people. The first passage we read by Carol Clack, and then on to John's Gospel, where Jesus, in the Gospel according to John, we have his, have him encountering three Passovers. And John places this story of the driving out of the traders in the temple at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, as opposed to the other three Gospels, which have it at the end. And it might be that we need, the writer of the Gospel story is making a point for us, but a lens that we need to look at all the rest of the story through, which is that the temple that Jesus was talking about was his body. And Rhiannon will read the passage to us from John.
Exodus chapter 20. God spoke, and these were his words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, where you were slaves. Worship no God but me. Do not make for yourselves images of anything in heaven or on earth or in the water under the earth. Do not bow down to any idol or worship it, because I am the Lord your God, and I tolerate no rivals. I bring punishment on those who hate me and on their descendants down to the third and fourth generation. But I show my love to thousands of generations of those who love me and obey my laws. Do not use my name for evil purposes, for I, the Lord your God, will punish anyone who misuses my name. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me. On that day, no one is to work, neither you, your children, your slaves, your animals, nor the foreigners who live in your country. In 6 days, I, the Lord, made the earth, the sky, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, I rested. That is why I, the Lord, blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Respect your father and your mother, so that you may live a long time in the land that I am giving you. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Do not desire another man's house. Do not desire his wife, his slaves, his cattle, his donkeys, or anything else that he owns. Amen.
This reading is from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. It was almost time for the Passover festival, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. There in the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons, and also the money changers sitting at their tables. So he made a whip from cords and drove all the animals out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He overturned the tables of the money changers and scattered their coins. And he ordered those who sold the pigeons, "Take them out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that the scripture says, "My devotion to your house, O God, burns in me like a fire." The Jewish authorities replied with a question, "What miracle can you perform to show us that you have the right to do this?" Jesus answered, "Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again." "Are you going to build it again in 3 days?" they asked him. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple." But the temple Jesus was speaking about was his body. So when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said. Amen.
Hello, hello. I'm Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. Welcome. If you've never experienced our worship before, you'd be most welcome to join us for the whole of it. That's the Zoom either end with this sermon in the middle. The texts that I'm preaching from today are Exodus 20 verses 1 to 17 and John 2 verses 13 to 22. Moses goes down the mountain and he says, "Lads, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is I managed to get him down to 10. The bad news is adultery is still in." It's an old joke, but the question is, how do we view the list of the 10? Displayed on buildings and executed as the basis of the law in the Judeo-Christian societies, the foundation of them is often lost to us because we live in an individualistic society. These are community rules. This is about how a group of people should behave. It matters if you steal, not merely because it irritates the person that you steal from, but because it destroys trust among us. The rules in the Decalogue, that's the Ten Commandments, are community rules. This is about what we do. We do not murder. We do not commit adultery. People, that's everyone, is allowed time off. Keep the Sabbath. Not because it's about my religious choices, but because that behaviour damages us, the whole of us. For most Christians, when we think about religious rules, we understand them as individual rules, rules of religious practice, rules of personal morality. But even the commandment, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain," is a community rule. God only slowly reveals what is God's name and reveals God's name through the people. Throughout the book of Genesis, God is identified not by name, but in relationship with the patriarchs, as a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob is refused to know the knowledge of God's name, even as he receives a new name himself. And Hagar gives God a name that isn't the same as the name revealed to Moses. Knowing another person's name holds a certain amount of power. Moses and the Israelites can now act in God's name. They could misuse it, they could misrepresent it, or they could honour it. The name of God as revealed in community. So Exodus 20 verses 1 to 17 is certainly about command and the responses that are required. It's a legal text after all, but it's also about relationship, relationship between the people and relationship between the people and God. Relationships expressed in community. There is a strand of thinking in church life that says rules are bad and have been swept away by the freedom of the gospel. Because of Jesus, we are free of rules. And the people who say it mean we're not like other faiths with rules about what you should eat or how many times a day you should pray and what form that prayer should take, etc. But there are Christian people who wish that we had those rules and who think it would make life better. But we don't. However, it is a useful thing to have a set of personal rules that we live by, guiding principles that we live up to, of how we behave. It's useful to have a discipline of behaviour, spiritual practices that we follow. These are wholesome and helpful. But let's remember that the bedrock of them is how does it take us into relationship with others? And how does it develop my relationship with Jesus? Sadly, it's easy for religious people to become obsessed with rules and the keeping of them, rather than the spirit of the whole thing. To take our eyes off that which really matters and become fixated by the outside of holy things. We have to fight that temptation all the time. To be consumed by, for example, how a song is sung or a scripture read, rather than the offering of worship that someone is making. Another challenge is our building. It's for us to use to help us worship God. And what matters in that sentence is that worship God bit of it, not that we need to use our building bit of it. Could we be Kingston United Reformed Church without our building? No. We could be a church though, but not this church. Because we have at our heart allowing people a safe space to be, to listen, to be listened to in the middle of Kingston. We have a role in the middle of the town, to be a safe space where people are welcomed and respected. Yes, we could worship online forever, but there's more to that than being church than that. The building is useful, but only as a vehicle, not as an end in itself. One of the songs that I sing regularly to the elders when we come to look at things like risk assessments is that the biggest risk for a church is not that we run out of money. It's not that our building falls down. The biggest risk is that we forget that we are a church, that we take our eyes off Jesus. Yes, of course, we have to keep the law, but only to fulfill a higher purpose. We could be neat, solvent, in a beautiful building, but totally missing the mark. And I don't know about you, but I have been in churches where it's all gloss and all lovely, but you had the sense that they were missing it. And equally, I've been with fragile gatherings of people, and you know that somehow they have their focus right. So here we have Jesus in the temple. Jesus is mad. Jesus is furious. Jesus is violent. What happened to that lovely, calm, white guy with the ginger hair? Simple. The rules are being kept but bent, and people are being excluded, and God is being mocked. For these sacrifices, the ordinary coin of the realm could not be used. The coins themselves broke the Ten Commandments because the head of the emperor was on them, declaring his divinity. So people had to exchange their regular coin for special temple coin that they could use then to buy what they needed to buy. So those who were exchanging coin, of course, they made a cut. And those who were involved in the buying and selling of animals, of course, they made a cut. And Jesus is angry. Because people are being ripped off. Because people are being kept outside who should be allowed in. The challenge for each of us is, who are we keeping out? Who is our institutional behaviour excluding? And what have we become blind to? Those involved in the trade of coins and animals were not necessarily bad people, but what they were doing was. So two specifics to finish. One, we all need to have in place structures for what we do when we are angry. Do not reply quickly. Do not overeat or drink too much. Do not punch that wall. Be curious about why you are angry. Step away from the phone. Avoid email and text. Why are you hurt? What has been hurt? In a world where people are getting the vaccine by jumping the queue, then that is a cause to be angry. When some countries in the world, rich countries, think that they can isolate themselves from the rest of the world by being vaccinated and then isolating, that is a cause to be angry. But how we express that anger? It's not about venting all over individuals. To be cautious about how we express our anger, particularly at this moment. It's not the same as saying we're not allowed to be angry, but how we express it needs to fit with the behaviour of someone who follows the man who ends up on the cross. So much of anger is about the frail ego that's been bruised. Jesus didn't have that problem. His anger is about others that should be valued and welcomed being excluded, that they should be drawn into community, and instead of that, they are kept out. Does our behaviour, even when angry, does our behaviour increase love, joy, peace, or does it undermine people and abuse them? And finally, if I said to you, it's okay to break one of the Ten Commandments, you would say, yippee, I hope it's adultery. No, it's not. Let's spend a moment thinking about the Sabbath day. There are 10 commandments. They are not 10 vague suggestions. There is not 9 vague suggestions. There are 10 commandments. Having one day off in 7 is good policy. Stopping for 24 hours is useful. Yes, I know that some people have to work 24/7 to pay the bills, but that's not everyone, and it's not a habit that we need to get into. We need to challenge it for those times when things get better. And equally, it might be that we need to consider rejigging our work. Making time to focus on God and the things of God for a prolonged period so that we can shape the lives that we live, that's what Sabbath is about. Now that most people can work anywhere, stopping working is one of the major challenges of our time. Just like all the other commandments, just because you can do something, that does not mean that you should. Amen.
And you can do that as a test for yourself sometime when you're trying to get the brain firing. Go through what are the Ten Commandments. Start with 10 and go back to 1, because 1, 2, 3 gets a bit confusing. But for now, let us pray. Multitude-making God, drawing us together in all our variety, demanding that we examine how our lives impact on others. Teach us again your ways, for we are prone to forget. Show us your truth, for we close our eyes and neglect our study of it. We pray for the multitudes of our world, the people you call us to share this planet with. You know every name, every face, every story. We pray for those whose lives are bloody and brutal. Lives that are lived far away and some very near. We know that at this time there has been an increase in domestic violence. We can only imagine the pressure in the courts, in the legal systems. There are lives that we can ignore. But no life is ignored by you. People like us and people different from us, all are loved by you. For the people in Syria, the people in Yemen, those in Israel-Palestine, for the people of North Korea. Lord, in our relations with one another, take us beyond "I need the jag" to "we all need to be vaccinated." The less mobile, those who are street homeless, the poorest countries in the world, the most difficult to reach at home. We pray for those returning to school tomorrow. People delighted to get together. People delighted to leave teaching behind. Those looking forward to starting up in the classrooms, meeting up. People fearful of people meeting up. Those who have vulnerable family members at home. Those for whom this transition back into schools is too much and they have left their jobs. For head teachers, those in senior leadership teams responsible for protocols, and for the medics and the politicians watching the numbers. we pray for those who are working on this day. Those in hospitals, those in the hospitality sector, getting ready for the lunchtime takeaways. For those involved in the emergency services. For those working this day so that we may receive facilities tomorrow. We pray for those whose responsibilities never end. For carers. We pray for your rest, Lord Jesus. For ourselves, for those people and situations that are heavy on our hearts, Lord, we pray. For those who live extraordinary lives, some that we know well, whose model of coping at this season is an example to us, we give you thanks for them. Those who are a sign of hope and grace, thank you. And we pray for ourselves that we would be shaped by a higher purpose this week. That you would take us beyond the monotony of our days. Beyond the fear of disease. And remind us of your love and our security that comes from you. Lord, hear the prayers we offer, the feeble ones offered out loud, and those that come from our hearts and minds, for they all come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Notices. Good to see Ray Taylor with us this day. Right, here we go. New thing in the diary, on Mondays 4 till 6, if you want to give me a call, you're almost welcome. I'll be sitting with the phone. This week, articles in for Church News, please. To Robin Pilbeam is the editor. I'll be sending out the his email address and also the general church news address. We've got contributions for our Easter banner coming in. It's going to look great. If you're busy sewing, get cracking on and get them delivered. The other thing we want to do is we want to have along the front some crosses. So when you're going out on your walk, if you get two bits of stick and you lash them together, be grateful to receive those. And once you've got your cross made, you could carve it if you're skillful, you can stick it, you can paint on it, you can get some stickers and stick on it, and then let us know and we'll be in touch and pick them up. And then we're going to start with, during Holy Week, we'll have crosses up, and then we'll take them down and we'll put the banner up, put those up. So we'll have the contrast, and hopefully that will speak something of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Send you around details of the Bible studies that are going on, remind you of the activities on Monday about the meditation and the exercise class. Tuesday coffee morning, as you know, is changing. You're not allowed to speak about COVID. Two, it's got a specific topic, and the specific topic this week is the things we like to read. Two events approaching, an area service, which is to give thanks for those who worked so hard during this time. I'll be sending out the Zoom details about that today, 6:30 on the Sunday the 21st. If you've got anything that you particularly think we should be giving thanks for, send me an email. Anybody or anything you particularly think we should be praying for, send me an email. We've got the Great Kingston United Reformed Church I'm Still Standing Disco on the 7:00 on the 20th. Looking forward to you all there, busting your moves. Now, we have had a bit of kerfuffle about this, There has been a petition started and everything. So I have been outvoted, and I'm afraid we will have to, we will have to allow some ABBA. One, obviously, just one. That's it. No more. Anyway, Ray Taylor is recovering from a DVT. Good to see you with us, Ray. Hurrah! Good to see you. Evelyn White, still in Walton Community Hospital. If you want a mobile number, I'll give it to you. If you know a mobile number, use it, please. You can do with Google some phone calls. And the other bit of really great news, it has taken the woman a whole year, but now Sue Shaw is in her new home. A year. Hurrah! She did it. Well done, Sue. Good grief. And others among us are trying to move too, so pray for those. So we're going to move to our Holy Communion. If you'd like to equip yourselves, later on today you will be receiving details of these things that I've mentioned. And if you need me, give me a call. So let us pray. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own we give you. Lord, bless our offerings of money, our offerings of time. These are returned gifts. And bless this bread and wine, that all would be used to show your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We take bread, symbol of labor, exploited, degraded, and symbol of life. We will break the bread, because Christ, the source of life, was broken for the exploited and the downtrodden. We take wine, symbol of blood spilt in war and conflict, symbol of new life. We will drink the wine because Christ, the peace of the world, was killed by violence. bread and wine are before us, the memories of our meals, the times when we would gather, our working, our talking, the story which shapes us, the grieving, the pain, the laughter. And we will give thanks for all that holds us together in our humanity, that binds us to all who live and have lived, who cried and are crying, who hunger and thirst, who pine for justice. And in this, we are bound to Jesus, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we take bread and we take wine and we give thanks. Let us pray. Creator God, we give you thanks for your patience with your wayward children, for bearing with us when our understanding is skewed and our behaviour is wrong. We thank you that you are always with us, and your humanity is entwined with ours, for showing us the way to live our lives through your life and through your word. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for working through us despite our failings, for living in us and enabling us with a strength greater than our own. Lord our God, we thank you for the times when you have knocked us off our pedestals, thinking that we are wise, we have trusted in our own understanding rather than yours. And you have bulldozed our castles in the air and brought us down to earth. Praise be that time after time, you have driven out our falseness and foolishness with cords of truth and righteousness, freeing us to be your church, beyond walls, open to all and ever expanding. We thank you. We thank you that you challenge us with our attempts to house you in bricks and mortar and show us how foolish it is. And we who gather as church and yet in our separateness know that we would honour and worship you and lift the stones from our hearts so that we may be your church in word and in deed, in our homes and in our separateness, and still live lives as your people. So as we eat and drink, may we know that we are united with one another, united with those who've gone before us in the faith, united with our brothers and sisters in Christ, in Kingston, in the churches that are local to us, united to our brothers and sisters in Christ, in those churches where we first encountered the faith, those places that have helped us along the way, united with the persecuted church, those who put their lives at risk to worship you. And these gifts would speak of that heavenly banquet when all will be gathered in. Lord, we pray. Amen. He took bread, blessed, broke it. "This is my body," he said, "broken for you." And wine, "This is my blood," he said, "shed for you." The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, your anger in the temple shows how much you care that everyone is welcome. That you are wherever we are. You are love unlimited, always accessible. We are grateful that we can turn to you in the dead of night, in the depths of our lowest moments, and know we will find love, understanding, comfort, and acceptance just as we are. Thank you. Amen. So after we've finished our final hymn, a word of blessing for me, well, a bit of the Psalms actually, and then we'll go into breakout rooms. Please stick around, and if you can't bear, if you zoom to the max, then maybe give somebody a call. We can't be sticking on Zoom, but otherwise it'd be great to chat with you. So let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
Psalm 20. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob protect you. May God send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May God remember all your offerings and regard with favour your burnt offerings. May God grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May God fulfill all your petitions. This week and forever. Amen.